So a while back, I had the honor and privilege, I'll call it, to go golfing with two members of our congregation here, Jerry Ely and Steve Moore, and also Jerry's brother, Jeff. And so the four of us were golfing at Whispering Creek in New Haven, and we got to this one hole, and I can hit the ball really far when I hit it straight. Sometimes it doesn't go straight. A lot of times it doesn't go straight. So I got up on the tee box of this one hole, and I had to show these old guys what I was made of. And I got into one, and I roped one. So I usually have a little bit of a slice. So, I was angling a little bit left. The hole's going this way. I'm aiming this way. And I pulled it. And it went three fairways over towards the clubhouse. And one of the guys said, don't remember who, said the words, "Well, I've never seen anybody go over there before from here." That's not what you want to hear when you're golfing, for those that don't golf. And so I got a term here that we're going to look at this morning that is a golf term. That's the title of my sermon. It's On the Fringe. So for those that don't know what this means, I got two picks here. So this first picture is a picture of a green on a golf course. And you see the green, right, where there's the flag. And right around the edge, this thicker grass, it's taller than the green grass, is called the fringe. So if you hit it up onto, you're trying to, obviously the goal is to hit it on the green and then get it in the hole. Sometimes you hit it on the fringe, and that's just quite not good enough. You don't want to really hit when you're hitting in, or if you're on a par three, you'd rather it just be on the green than on the fringe, right, golfers? Because sometimes if you're trying to putt from the fringe, it can screw your putt up. If you try to chip it, that can screw it up. So you don't always want to be on the fringe. You'd rather be on the green. And so the next picture gives you a little bit closer. You see, that's the close picture of the fringe, and the green is right there. So you get it for those people that don't golf. This is what I mean when I say on the fringe. Just not quite good enough. On the fringe. And so today we are going to take a look at a passage in Matthew which involves Jesus and a woman on the fringe. So let's take a look at this. In Matthew chapter 15, starting with verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. All right, I'm stopping here because I already have questions. Why, where is the from there? And why is Jesus going away? So those are the first two questions that pop in my head. So the next, I have a map here. And so Jesus was right in this area in Galilee in a town called Gennesaret. It's not on this map. But he went from there up to, here's Tyre and Sidon, which is outside of Galilee, okay? Everybody following? The reason he's leaving Galilee to go up there because the Pharisees have come up, which, by the way, they've come from all the way down here, all the way up to here, to approach Jesus about his disciples doing something they shouldn't have been doing. They weren't washing their hands before they eat. Can you believe it? Does that really necessitate a journey from here all the way up here to talk to Jesus? Well, to the Pharisees it did, because this is one of their laws that you had to uphold. This was one of the traditions that they had to do. And so Jesus responds to them pretty sternly. He calls them hypocrites, and then he also tells them that they honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. So the Pharisees would have taken great offense to that. And so Jesus knew, you see, like we've been saying, Jesus is in control of all of these events that we read about. and it is not yet his time to go to Jerusalem. And the Pharisees are hot under the collar, so he gets away up to Tyre and Sidon. Remember last week, Jesus also got away. He went up on the mountain to pray before he walked on water. This time he's bringing his disciples with him. So that's the first line here. Again, we see Jesus getting away from it all for a while. Let's go on here. Verse 22. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region, Tyre and Sidon, came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." I'm going to stop here again because there's already some stuff going on here. As Jesus is getting away from it all, he is approached by a woman who Matthew calls a Canaanite. The fact that Matthew calls her a Canaanite brings along with it some baggage. So remember, the Canaanites were the ones that inhabited the land of Israel, that is now Israel, when the Israelites, after wandering in the desert for 40 years, came to the promised land. They had to get the Canaanites out of there. So this is a descendant from those people. So she's an outsider. She's on the fringe. You know, the Israelites didn't like Canaanites, or any Gentile, really, because that's what this woman was. She was a Gentile, considered unclean by the Jews. She was on the fringe. You know, it's a good thing there's no people nowadays in 2023 considered to be on the fringe, right? We're all on the green. Well, in India, they used to, or some still places, they have a caste system. And the lowest one on that ladder are called the untouchables. Interesting, huh? You know, it's a good thing we don't have this problem in America, right? Well, here we divide people up into classes. And this is the most recent one I could find of how things are set up. We have the upper class. We have new money class, which is those that have gotten a lot of money, but they haven't had generations of wealth like the upper class has. Then we have the middle class, we have the working class, we have the working poor, and we have the poverty level. The point I'm making here is this isn't just something that was unique back in Jesus' day, where we put labels on people and considered some people to be on the fringe. Let's move on here. Matthew 15, verses 23 and following. But Jesus did not answer her a word, and his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Wow, Jesus, really? What is going on here? First off, we can see again the disciples are annoyed with this woman. You know, they're probably saying, "Jesus, just give this woman whatever she wants so she leaves us alone. Get her out of here." But Jesus ignores the woman and then responds with referring to her as a dog. What is Jesus up to here? Why does he do this? First thing to understand here is Jesus is not refusing to help. He is taking advantage of an opportunity to show who receives and doesn't receive the help that is always present with God. He's taking advantage of an opportunity. And he wants to show his disciples and us two things here by responding the way he did. Remember, Jesus doesn't speak to the woman at first and then says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. First thing he wants to show his disciples and us. Let's not forget, Jesus is not only 100% true man, he is 100% true God. He knows this woman. He knows that she has faith. Because she comes up and says, Lord, Son of David. See, this is one of those things that's a Jewish title. David being the great king of Israel, the Messiah was going to come from the line of David. This woman knew that. She called him Son of David. So she clearly has heard the word of God somewhere, and the Holy Spirit has worked in her, and she has faith. She knows who Jesus is. This woman is totally focused in on Jesus. Instead of this Canaanite woman being distracted by the wind and the waves around her, she kept her eyes fixed on Jesus. She didn't let Jesus' response deter her from being persistent. Because she understands and she says, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table, is what she says to Jesus. You know, this woman's faith, this Canaanite woman, this person on the fringe, her faith is in stark contrast to somebody we just read about last week. When Jesus was walking on the water, remember Peter? He took his eyes off Jesus and was focusing on the wind and the waves. He's a Jew. This woman is a Gentile. She's a Canaanite. And her faith is greater than that. Her faith is greater than those Pharisees who are more concerned with man-made laws. Her faith is stronger than that. Jesus wants them to understand that. The second thing Jesus wants them to understand, showing his disciples and showing us, is that Jesus didn't just come for the lost sheep of Israel. That's what he says to her. Yes, that is exactly right. Jesus came for the people of Israel. That's been the promise from the Garden of Eden all the way through the Old Testament, all the covenants God made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, Jesus came for the lost sheep of Israel, but that's not it. And that's the point he wants them to understand. Look at Isaiah chapter 56. It's up on the screen. Verses 1 and then to 6 and 8. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my righteousness be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and will make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. See, the disciples should have recognized this already, that this Messiah came not just for them. This is Isaiah, who almost 1,000 years before Jesus came, said this, prophesied this. The point, Jesus came for all people like you and I who are on the fringe. God's grace and mercy is big enough for everybody. We are all sinners. I can't express that enough. We are all sinners. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a Canaanite woman or a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're male or female, whether you have white, black, brown, yellow, or purple skin, whether you are on the fringe or you're on the green all the time, whether you're a Bears fan or a Packers fan, whether you are sitting in church as you all are, or whether you haven't stepped foot in the church in years, whether you're the upper class, the middle class, the lower class, the poor, whether you're a good person or a bad person, we are all sinners and we are all in the same boat together in need of mercy and the forgiveness of our sins. We need Jesus, don't we? Which is why he came. And Jesus made that peace, the peace that we talk about, the peace of God between us and God, because he shed his blood and died on that cross for each and every one of our sins. And you know what? Because of that, because of Jesus' shed blood and death on that cross, and the fact that we are all sinners together, we should be a church here at Promise that welcomes all sinners, even if they are on the fringe, correct? You know, I am sure that there are people you know, whether it be in your daily life, maybe you work with them, maybe they're in your neighborhood, maybe they're in your family, maybe there's some people you know that are considered on the fringe type people who have taken their eyes off Jesus. Maybe they have made bad choices in their life. Maybe they haven't walked through the doors of a church in a long time. Or maybe never. But they know you. Or at least you come into contact with them sometimes, these people on the fringe. And you just may have an opportunity to reach out to this person on the fringe and maybe even get to know them a little bit better and understand why they are on the fringe. Build that relationship with them. You know, who are these people exactly on the fringe? You know, they are people with needs. These are people who are hurting. These are people who are divorced or separated, people who suffer with depression or anxiety. Maybe these are people who have a disease or are sick. They are people like you and me. And they are in need of the good news that we have to offer. Am I right? And who knows? These people on the fringe that you come in contact with. Maybe God is going to use you in a big way to reach this person on the fringe. And you can share with them the mercy that you have received and the sins that you have been forgiven of because of a Savior who loves you that much, who is, of course, Jesus. Always be on the lookout. And that is my challenge for you all. The challenge is to be on the lookout in your lives for those people who might be considered on the fringe. Those people not on the green, you know, like we are. So I wanted to talk to you about something. In a month, just over a month, October 1st, this is part of the challenge, we're having a Bring a Friend Sunday, October 1st. This is an opportunity to maybe develop a relationship with somebody society considers or even the church considers on the fringe and invite them to come along with you. Because you know what the best evangelism program is? All these things that have been written and sold over the decades. The best thing is still You people, the people of Promise Lutheran Church here, you the people inviting somebody to come to church with you. People are more willing to come to church if they know somebody. And so that's the challenge. Be on the lookout for those people on the fringe. Because think about it, we were all on the fringe. But because of Jesus, we are on the green, not only on the green, we are in the hole. Because of Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,